We're good.
Okay, we're on. Welcome, everyone. This is the monthly meeting of the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District. We have first on our agenda public comment. We are here in the conference room. Doors are open. I don't see any public in the room other than board members. Is there anybody that would like to say anything in the public comment? Okay, moving on then to our manager's report. And Paul, we've had a little excitement over the last couple of days up on the hill.
Oh, one and all.
I missed it.
Yeah, so if you get Trustee Ebert to find that those photographs, you can take a look at that.
Did I end up with them?
Yeah, okay, you ended up with
looking.
It. Starting Wednesday, he'll find it. It's a pretty colored photograph.
Okay.
Starting Wednesday, the sewer system decided to erupt again. First of all, on the way home from St. George, I get a phone call from Carrie, and then it's nonstop from there, just outside of Cedar City. And
Carrie Zanger, by the way.
Zanger, here, excuse me. And we have that right there.
Okay.
We have a sinkhole in the road as you just go past the condominiums, the main drag. And there was liquid flowing.
Color of liquid?
It wasn't crystal clear.
See that seaweed? It was that color.
Yeah.
Oh. You're not gonna change my mind. I'm still gonna
enjoy it. The end of the long story, after we got the flushing guys up there, we had a blockage about 120 feet below a manhole that had been paved over by the contractor a year or two ago. And it just closed off that main line, and started eroding the road. We were glad to see that the report initially was we have a broken pipe, and I'm thinking all kinds of nasty things. And the pipe is good, but we've got a piece of concrete that came down and formed a ridge in that pipe, and now I've got to figure out how to get it out and hopefully not have to dig up the road to do that.
So you're seeing the condos across from Sundown?
Yeah,
condos?
Yeah.
Not the upper condos.
Yeah.
The lower condos.
And so that's what that is. The front photo is Saturday's activity. I was up there Saturday afternoon. That is Evan, our operator right there,
okay.
That just lifted you see how black that the top of that tank, or the top of that wet well is there? That's ripe sewage.
Right.
Let me take another sip of my kale smoothie here.
And of course, I made him buy a Tyvek suit so he would get somewhat protected. But at any rate, we had to change out pumps because the pump station was totally down. We're crossing our fingers and we're holding our breath that this will stay in place
Literally.
For a few days. But just to let you know, this was probably a $4,000 week this week. And if you were to look carefully at our budget, you'd see that I have now spent all $40,000 for the sewer system. For the year.
Oh, good.
I'm going to have to get a little creative.
Duct tape and zip ties.
You're probably going to have to amend your budget, too.
Yeah, probably. So far I'm in budget, but now I will be out of budget. But that's my report to you on the fun and games for the week. Now, the other things that I need to report to you is we're still proceeding and we'll talk further about this in this meeting with the new well. I call your attention before I forget it, in the back of your board packets there's any correspondence that we're involved in. I put in your board packet so that you know what I'm saying to whom in writing. And so you'll see that at the last tab.
Yeah.
D. Is it?
No, well, that's,
no, no, that's the board meeting.
You've got this in here, and that's all we had in
we
here?
We don't have no correspondence. Oh, the correspondence is in the fly.
Yeah,
okay,
this.
I'm sorry, fly leaf here.
So
I just call that to your attention. We received proposals from bond counsel. We had four respondents to our request. Blaisdell Church and Johnson, Chamberlain and Associates, Gilmore and Bell, and Farnsworth Johnson were the respondents. Along with other things, we scored them. The review committee consisted of Commissioner Trustee Chairman Gibson, myself, And out of, well, that's maybe out of desperation, I asked my other client and good friend, Keith Lord, who's the general manager of the Taylorsville Binion Water and Sewer District in Salt Lake County, who was traveling with me to do a review, and I'll tell you, he did a thorough review.
I think it's good to have somebody with outside.
Outside. Reviews. He had no, yeah, he had absolutely, other than willingness to help, no other objective here. And we all scored Farnsworth Johnson the lowest. Part of the criteria was, and 60% of the criteria was fee or price, and they were 3,000. The next one was 4,100, and then it went 6,000 and 8,500. So we were all over the map on those guys.
I think I predicted that you would be, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. So at any rate, if we proceed with doing the well, then my recommendation would be that. That we notice an award, and I negotiate relative to contract with the help of our attorney to Farnsworth Johnson. And then, of course, the other thing that's on my report is, of course, you've seen a proposal in your board packet from CRS Engineers. That's under tab A. For, and also you see the cost breakdown for cradle to grave. Engineering services relative to developing the well, getting the well into production.
This is a COVID well, Paul?
Yes, sir, the replacement well. I don't know if I want to honor COVID with having their name on it, but that's why I call it replacement. That's my way of protesting a little bit. But you can name it whatever you want to name it when we have it.
I want it called the Bell Well.
Fine by
Bell
me.
Well.
I think Dan would approve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know he would approve.
Anything you get named after him, he'll approve.
That's
the Bell Well. You're going to have the Bell Well and the Bob Well.
Okay. Okay. So those are the items that I have to report on in a very brief moment. I can give you more if you want more.
That's fine with me. Do we need any action on any of those?
You do. If we proceed with developing the Bell Well, we would want to act on awarding to the bond council subject to contract, and then also the discussion and award to CRS on the design and construction management. That includes monitoring the well drilling. That's great. Cradle to grave.
I'll move for that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Did Mark have a chance to talk about the issue that we talked about with that engineering bid call?
Yes, we have. I don't know his answer yet. I don't know if he's had a chance to get an answer together.
I've looked at it.
Okay.
Sorry. I told you I didn't, wouldn't have much time, but I did spend a little time on it.
Okay, thank you.
That's pretty good. All right, do I have a second on that motion then?
So the motion is for the bond council and the engineering?
Is that a motion? And to proceed with the well.
So,
right?
Yeah, my only question is, we have the one bid for the engineering. Do we have other bids?
No.
No. What the intent is, you've got what I'll call a master contract with CRS. I mean, I wish I could go back in time and tweak it a little bit. But you have done 4 amendments to it. This would be a 5th amendment. Correct?
That's correct.
And Paul and I have discussed this, Jared.
Okay.
I'm good with this at this point.
So we don't need to
Mark
open to other engineers.
Don't bring up either.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
If you're okay, then I'll second it.
Okay. Motion and second then to move forward with the well, the engineering, and the bond council as recommended from the review committee. Any discussion to that? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Consent items, or no, report on financials,
Carrie?
I would have
been upset, Bob, if you would have voted nay on that.
We have the check detail and the budget versus the actuals from January through
March 15th.
March 15th, yeah. So they're basically right there between C and D.
Yeah.
Or B and C, excuse me. So the checks I just have, they've got here, we just had signed. That gives you everything, that's all the bills through January through now. I can give you off the top of my head the account balances if you'd like, but your budget versus actuals gives you everything up to date.
Yeah, tell them what the account is, because I winged it.
Oh. PTIF has 195, and Wells Fargo has 98 in the account right now.
Well, I like your answer better.
Just like my account.
That's a little better news than what we thought, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, under this, as we proceed with this bond, we've got, you know, an obligation to meet, and so I would love to try to amass that money. Anything that we charge, that we have been charging against the well, I mean, we run about $10,000 right now to try to get things, you know, in terms of that. We'll try to get that qualified.
Right. So this is after taking the 135 to pay Alita?
Yes.
It is.
Okay. And then the other question is, where'd it go? It just
would
flew
you like
out of my mind.
Something to get that
The amount that we have to put down on that loan, sorry, the $225,000, is that around there,
yeah,
that we have to put down for that 0% loan from
the
state?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's as we go. It doesn't have to be up front.
Oh, it doesn't have to be up
front.
It can be paid in installments.
No, as a matter of fact, no. It's as we go.
It's as we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And Paul, just to clarify, so this starts with a test well, which is
yes.
How much?
I warned you.
You tell me.
Test
well. About 60,000.
Okay.
60,000.
And so then, I mean, obviously, our goal is we hope that it finds success, and then it's worth the money to go deeper. If the test well comes back and it isn't successful, then we'll fulfill,
right,
then we can cancel out of the loan, right?
Oh, yeah, the
okay.
loan is provisional,
yeah,
upon producing water, and then we have to pay those costs if it doesn't happen, if we're
right,
not successful.
Straight out of our pocket.
And I take it this isn't one that our expert would recommend that we skip the test well on.
No, but Paul's doing things in the design that make it so that the test well, the uphold construction of the test well is such that you get to keep it if you then clean it out and do a full open well. It costs a little bit more on the front end, but it saves in the long run, which means we're on the tipping the scales, we think it's going to move ahead.
So this is kind of a compromise between the two.
Right.
And that's the norm. Most of my clients over the years have done a test well, but on occasion, they've just sunk the well. They were that
right.
sure, but that's not up on that mountain.
Don't
that's
won't guarantee me that, so long. We're not.
Oh, I wouldn't
yeah.
either. Nobody has
no
drilled
way.
This target before.
So, Paul, those two things, the bond council, the engineering contract, are important to get this well moving.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, are there any other barriers to moving forward expeditiously when the snow melts to get this well taken care of?
Yes. The other issue is, of course, having the right to be on the land. To drill the
Why
well.
Are you throwing him softballs like that, Bob? You're just throwing softballs out there.
I love it. You never answer a question you don't already know the answer. Mm.
What could it be? Starts with E, ends with easement.
Where are we on the easement then, I guess, is the question.
Well, and maybe we could talk about that in our closed session.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
But it suffice it to say that's like key right now, very, very key.
Mm.
Great. Okay.
Could I let me jump onto something more, less volatile? If you go through this budget thing carefully, there are a couple of journal entries that I'll have them make because we show a negative number. Because you'll see the 135 on the second page, water connections. That's a misallocation. Water connections should not be there. It should come out of impact fee,
okay,
which we don't reflect here. That's not an operating budget item. Impact fees collected and use of those. It's that's highly regulated. Well, that 135 will go down into that column. So the PT account, as I call it, I have her use the PT account for impact fees and maybe extra money that we may have. And so the PT account has sufficient. Well, we've paid out of the PT account for this already.
Right.
But I need to move it into impact. So we won't see a negative net $165,000.
Right.
I just call your attention to that. I'm aware of it. And
okay.
We're continuing to tweak this thing. We'll get good at it by the end of the year.
Can I ask one other question?
Yes,
what
ma'am.
Is the outstanding balance that Summit owes us at this moment? Or do they owe us any money?
The only thing they owe us for this month. And I got a check the other day,
okay,
and so there's only a couple
okay.
of invoices that I've
They're
invoiced them,
paying.
And they've been paying on a monthly
yeah.
basis.
She's
Absolutely.
Done a good job in collecting.
Good.
A real good job.
Just let me know when I ski with them. If they're on the chairlift and there's no bar down, I'll be like, they have paid or not?
They have paid everything up until except for what was invoiced, and I talked to them on Friday.
Oh, good.
We went over a few invoices, so they're fine.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm through, Mr. Chair.
Okay, perfect. All right, anything else on the financials? Any other questions, comments? Okay, we'll move to the consent items. We have the request for approval of the district bills to be paid. Warrants number 192 through 212 in the amount of $99,200.51.
Trustee Harvey, I was wrong on that number too, wasn't I?
It's okay. I'm really getting a lot more confidence in your ability here in this meeting.
Thanks to Carrie. Well, information she's presenting.
Next to Trustee Harvey, next to Trustee Ebert, my resignation's on the table too.
Can someone please make a motion to say
I'll make
here?
A motion that we adopt the consent items number one and number two.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve both of those consent items. I didn't read the second one, which was the minutes held on February 7th of 2017. Any further discussion of those consent items? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. Okay. Mark, on the attorney, on board qualifications, just for a brief preview, over the last couple of months, we've had a little bit of a merry-go-round with the county making appointments, and we've had some folks up in the area talking about board qualifications and what a governance structure makes sense, I think, for the district up there, and we had always. I'm going to leave it to Mark since then, other than to just say that because of that, I asked him to take a deeper look at how it all fits and maybe explain, why we're all here and how we got here and just kind of make sure that we're comfortable from that perspective.
Did everybody other than Jim get a copy of my email?
And I gave him my copy, Mark.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So I'll look at that later.
Is it in the packet as well? No?
What we're going into now, is it in this packet? Okay. Thank you.
Basically, it's just a one pager, largely because nobody thinks I can do anything in one page.
I did notice that there's only two paragraphs here, and there's usually seven.
And I think most people in the room know the history, and I gave a tiny little bit of history in the email, but maybe a little bit more. When the county commissioners, I don't know if I should word it this way, but essentially took over the board, because I think it's probably accurate, although I'm not sure if I should put it that way. There probably had not been an election, and this was an elected board. It was an elected board of trustees. I don't think there'd been an election in 20 years. And in fact, it was my impression that as somebody, there were two trustees who'd been there more or less forever, and then the third trustee was Summit's general manager up on the mountain. He never stood for election, at least if he did, it was a surprise to me, but he was merely appointed by the other two to fill the term of whomever. Well, these terms are 4 years each, and they don't automatically renew. They have to be reappointed or reelected. Now, in this instance, it was a case of getting reelected, but they never held an election, and it was the duty of the board to hold that election. It's even worse than that. Not only did they not hold an election, none of the three were qualified to serve. I hate to say that in an open meeting, but I think it's been enough years ago that I probably can. Because none of them resided within the district, and none of them were registered voters within the district. And that is a requirement for all trustees unless you fall under certain exceptions. Okay. The exception that they thought they fell under was if 50% or more of the residences are seasonally occupied homes, then a proportionate number of the board members may be landowners or agents of landowners, even though they're that are registered to vote somewhere, even though they don't reside within the district, etc. But even if this had been a more than 50% situation, all three of them couldn't get in on that basis. It has to be no more than a proportional amount, which would really mean just one out of the three, because if you've got half, you know, half of three, well, you can't cut the person in half. So, but in any event, I'm rambling now, and I'll stop. We went to the legislature. We got some legislation passed that specifically authorized members of the county commission, in the case of an improvement district where 35% or more of the residences were seasonally occupied homes. We were confident that we had that number and then some. We really didn't know whether we had the 50% number. The county has since looked into it, and as everybody I think knows, we don't. But at that point in time, we didn't know. And so basically, we went to the legislature, got the legislature to adopt legislation that enabled the district to, that enabled the board members to change from elected to appointed because of the failure to hold elections by the old board. It specifically authorized the county commission under those circumstances to declare that thenceforth the board would be an appointed board. There is a procedure in the law that would allow it to revert back to elected if you get a petition from 10% of the registered voters, etc. But until then, the board is an appointed board, and up to three members of the county commission may appoint themselves, in other words, even if they don't reside within the district under this specific legislation. But it requires that at least two of the board members satisfy the otherwise statutory requirement of being a registered voter residing within the district. And so that's how it changed from a three-member so-called elected board that really wasn't to a five-member appointed board. Now, the county commission does not have to appoint all three of its members. It doesn't have to appoint any, but it can appoint up to three. And no, we're not considering your resignation today. I don't know. Is that enough, yeah. Gary? Or,
yeah.
Especially if you've read my email.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything new with the assessor's report? Or
you haven't heard anything from John yet, Mr. Yuleberry.
Yeah. What do we want to do?
Jim, does that clarify it a little?
Yeah, and your email was, I get it.
Good. So, I realize that there are probably some who don't, you know, I mean, we've talked in this board for a while that we would like to see an opportunity, I think referring to Commissioner Ebert's attempt to resign. We would like to see, you know, the commissioners not be here forever. But we did find ourselves, I'm just going to give a little background, we did find ourselves in a little bit of a pickle because we made a couple of appointments and then found out that neither one of them, you know, qualified as per the statute. So we had to redo that. And then as we looked back through those applications, there was really only one at the time of all of those that even qualified. And so that, you know, it just becomes a challenge again as to, and maybe this is a discussion for a different time, but I think there's a real discussion that needs to be had. I mean, I think it's a simplistic and easy statement to say we want it to be a more community related or represented board, but we also, I think we need to look at a little bit larger picture as to, you know, exactly how, you know, how we want this board to be constituted in the future, how we want it to be so that frankly, there can be stakeholders, as we talked about, from the major landowner, so that there can be representation from existing residents that have been there a long time, and so that there can be, I think that maybe having someone from the commission on a long term is probably a good thing too, that maybe can step back and see larger picture issues that may not be totally wrapped up into a small
small areas. So I don't know what the answer is today, but I just wanted to make sure everybody understood where we were on this process. And as of right now, you know, where we were legally. Because that's the main thing, is if we had just left it the same after the first appointment, I think we would have been in trouble from a legal perspective, because we just couldn't, I don't want to put ourselves in a position on this board where we have members who are not eligible to serve. So that's my challenge. I felt like we had to make that change and come back. Yes. Somebody had a hand up over here.
So I thought, the question I guess I have is, this is state statutory requirements, this isn't a county ordinance.
Everything in here is state statute.
Because I think the question I have is that we have such a dynamic area up there with full-time and second homes and all that type of population, and it seems very restrictive. Those who don't live there full-time will probably have different interests than those who live there full-time. Those who are property owners that may not live there at all may have different interests compared to, you know, like if you don't live there, say you own 10 acres out there, the board can then pass some type of requirement for, let's say, a fee on property that doesn't have someone on, that's not assessed, that's not taking services, but we want to collect money on it. And as a property owner, you're like, but I'm not, why should I be required? You know, and they don't have a voice on the board. Second, you know, homeowners up there, they may have different needs than those who are primary, but they don't have a voice now up there. It just seems to me like it's a very restrictive requirement for the board representation. And I'm wondering how we can better have all of those voices represented than by statutory requirements right now.
But you have to meet the statutory
Correct.
Requirements.
Correct.
Would it be possible to shrink the board to a three-member board and two advisory members to the board?
Well, there's nothing, a board could set up committees. You couldn't really delegate any authority to the
right.
final decision.
So I was honestly surprised and happy at the interest that was expressed by applicants throughout our demographic in terms of property, non-owners, full-times, and all these sorts of things. And I think that interest is still there among folks. And independently of whether or not the auditor is going to give us the data that we think we need to broaden the applicant pool or not, I think we need to do something to ensure that that interest remains there, it is engaged, and more importantly, to mitigate against people that might feel disenfranchised and feel like the sort of, like it's a stacked deck or that they aren't. So I mean, I do think we need to do something. I suggested a community advisory committee. I'm not sure who would set that up. I'm not sure who would participate. I'm not sure anything.
Well, if somebody wants their interests protected, if they advertise it more or publicize it more that they're getting them, not only through the newspaper or something, but maybe even with a bill that it says
we're
seeking.
But we're not
going to
find qualified residents, full-time residents currently. So we're going to have to get the data that we need to make this work. And in the meantime, I think we just got to hold on tight and at least cobble ourselves through December when both Jennifer and I, our terms are expired, and just otherwise, I don't know what our options are. I think we're kind of stuck as we are for a while.
Are we good on that, Mark? Chair, sorry, you mean to interrupt? Are we good on allowing someone to fulfill their term?
What the law provides in Bob's case, he is no longer a registered voter there. Therefore, his position is deemed to be vacant, but the law specifically allows him to continue to serve until a successor is duly appointed and qualified. That's all very clear. The intent of the law isn't to allow somebody to stay on indefinitely. If this were a year, if we were in 2016 and you asked me that question, I'd be really squirming in my seat, because you know, over a year and a half when he technically doesn't qualify would give me a lot of heartburn. It's going to take you probably a month or two.
I am a registered voter. I'm just probably not technically a full-time resident.
Oh, you are a registered voter?
I am a registered voter, yes I am.
Oh.
Wait,
I
hold on, which party? Oh, let's figure out which party first, then we'll make a determination.
I don't care.
So, I mean,
I thought
you told me it's
no, at your insistence, I put myself out there for jury duty and I registered to vote.
I know, I shouldn't have needed to do that, but I thought you told me that you had changed that.
I haven't done anything. I still get those cards. I don't vote. My wife is a full-time resident up there, technically, but I'm not.
I think I feel a whole lot better about it right now than I did a few minutes ago.
Say that again. Why is that, Bob? If
my wife's home base is here. I mean, I don't want to go into the whole story.
Right,
she commutes basically from her job to here, and I'm in Hawaii a fair amount and on the road a fair amount. It varies from year to year. I mean, you get a calendar out there 6 months, 1 year.
I didn't mean to ask specifics. It's just when you said she is a full-time resident and I'm not, but you technically are registered to vote. So it's just a matter of how much time.
Right.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. But, do you that just so you can get the in-state ski pass discount?
There is none. There is none. What we already bought are passes for next year.
No, I feel a whole lot better than I did a few minutes ago because I thought you told me that you.
I get one of those things all the time.
Okay.
Come vote.
I'm glad I was missing.
Are you a registered voter, Jen?
I am not.
I
need to go and.
You're at the right spot.
I do need to go do it. I need
do
to go
it
do it.
Today.
I will do it today. I'll do it after this.
Right across the hall.
So I had it backwards. She's the one I'm
worried
about.
I'm full time, but I'm not.
If we can find out from the auditor, if we get the data
I'll go
we
do
need
it right now,
we can reopen this for nominations. We can get James off the hook.
I love you, Bob.
And just meet some of the community's expectations about governance, because I think that's a big. I think folks are interested, willing to participate, and want to participate, for sure.
Well, and we. You know, right now, I mean, I agree with that to a certain extent, but the other thing is right now we do have two members from the community, right? And that's pretty good considering that we had in this last cycle one that qualified, you know? So, to me, as big of a problem, and I think we've talked about this before, is we got the major landowner that doesn't have any representation. Mm-hmm. Of course, that problem will solve itself, I think, over time as they build stuff. You know, they'll have people that are full-time residents.
And I think it will solve itself, but it would be good. I think, you know, that's the whole thing for me. I want to make sure, because it's in public here, but I want to make sure that everyone, and I'll state the obvious, that as soon as more and more people go up there, up to the top, and they become permanent residents, there'll be a disproportionate, or could be a disproportionate amount there. So at some point, I mean, we need
that's
to
what that's why I'm saying. I think we need to keep in mind the big picture and figure it out for the long term instead of just to solve a problem today.
Question on the percentage. How is that percentage established?
So long.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but as far as the equation, it's 50% of what?
Of residences, homes.
So it's not.
The timeshare wouldn't count if that's.
Mm-hmm. Condos don't count as a resident.
Well, it would if it was 100% owned and people lived there. No, it's my. Yeah. But the timeshare, no.
Okay. Are you sure we're done? That's a good question. Hmm. Aren't they going through those timeshares and count those as residents?
That's what my question is, and how we can start counting those numbers.
It's a huge number.
Because if that was the case.
And I don't know, the county did the counting. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, if the county did the counting, we're in trouble.
In fact, that was back when Chris, you know, when I was flying out and Chris was doing.
Could we impose upon you to help us better understand what we can and what we cannot count in that percentage and get us a legal finding that would help us?
If you could put me, it still needs to be a county person who does the work, but if you could hook me up with whomever at the county level, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay, we can do that.
Well, I guess if we're going to expense funds, maybe that's not a motion I can just arbitrarily make, but I think if we had a better understanding of what we're actually designating as a residence or how we would count those.
And I don't think you need a motion for that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great. Anything else on the board qualifications? All right. Item G is a request for a motion to adjourn the public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right and any pending or reasonably imminent litigation. And I think we
request that too.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Seeing none, I think we need a roll call on that.